Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue our studies of the varied ministry of the Spirit of God in the lives of Christian people. Already on this broadcast, we have considered the Spirit as our helper, as our indweller, as our leader, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider Him as our communicator. And again, we, of course, have to turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, that wonderful chapter in the Bible that tells us more about the Spirit of God. There's a greater concentration of truth about the Spirit of God in the 8th chapter of Romans than any place else in the Bible. And indeed, we will, I think, rejoice when we really realize all that the Spirit of God does for you and for me. We're talking, actually, about what the Spirit does for us after we're saved. But perhaps it would be in keeping with our subject to talk about the fact that He does bring us to God and we are born again by the Spirit of God. He gives us the conviction of sin. If I, as an unsaved person, receive a feeling, a very definite feeling that I'm a sinner and that my soul is not right with God, I suggest to you that that is the work of the Spirit of God in his soul, generating that need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel, where the Lord was dealing with Nicodemus, and he told that learned man who thought he was a teacher, and he come to the Lord as a teacher, and the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, can a man be born the second time from his mother's womb? No, he says, I mean a spiritual birth. And he told Nicodemus, and he tells us there, when we read it, that indeed we are brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ when the Spirit of God reveals these things to us. We're born of the Spirit. Now, when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus, in that wonderful verse, and I believe the Lord gave that verse to Nicodemus, that wonderful John 3:16, just to help him see what he was talking about. We read there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, Nicodemus was led to see that the Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross for him, would be on that cross for him. It was not history as yet, but he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. We'll find out later in John's Gospel that Nicodemus was a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go on now into our subject of today as our communicator. Now, we read in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He's our leader. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. Now, this is the verse that we want to zero in. Verse 16. We'll zero in upon it, rather. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He is the divine communicator. He lets us and gives us the power of communication with God, and he gives us the certain knowledge that God is listening, that we have contact. You know, this is a wonderful subject. The Spirit gives us God consciousness. He gives that to us. We read that from Galatians 4 and 6. And because ye are sons, after we trust, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He is the means of communication, and he indites the prayers, and he gives us the consciousness of it. God gives us God, the Spirit gives us God consciousness Now, the proof of life, after all, is consciousness. I have told over the broadcast before, it's been years ago, though, about a time when I was speaking to a group of children. And I asked a little boy in the audience, I said, "Philip, are you alive?" Well, he looked so surprised at me. "Yes." I says, "Can you prove it?" And he began to think, well, do I need to prove it? How can I prove it? And I says, "Now I want you to prove it." And he couldn't do it. And a little girl held up her hand. And she said, "I know I'm alive." And I said, "Why?" "Because I can see." And then it caught on. And another child and another child. "I can see, I can hear, I can taste, I can smell, I can feel." They were given God, they were given consciousness through their senses. Now, when we are saved, we are given spiritual senses. We can't develop this subject to the full today. And every sense that we have in our first birth, that is, as we were born into the human family, the five senses, there is a corresponding sense in the spiritual sphere when we are born into the family of God. When we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for us on that cross, the Spirit of God places the life of Christ within us. Don't ask me how he does it. That's not my business. My business and your business is to believe. And when we believe, the Spirit of God brings the life of Christ within us, and that is the eternal life of which John, everlasting life, of which John 3:16 is speaking. So the proof of life is consciousness. And we must have the life before we can experience the consciousness. I remember the incident of a young Christian girl years ago. As a matter of fact, I knew the family. She had two brothers and a sister, and God began to save souls in that family. And her brothers and her sister were saved, but she was not saved. They were ecstatic with the joy that they had, the joy that the Spirit himself gives. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, and so forth. And she wanted this salvation so badly, and she said to those people, "But how can you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved?" she asked them. "Yes, I certainly do." "Well, how can I know that I'm saved? I believe the Bible. I believe the things that are written in the Bible. But I can't say that I feel that I'm saved." Well, I'll tell you what she was doing. She was believing it academically. She was believing it because God said it. But she wasn't believing it in the sense that she was relying on it. And she finally, in time, she did see that it was not, the feeling was just not an academic acceptance of the truth of the Scripture. Not at all. It was a reliance upon the Scripture, a belief in it, a resting upon it. That's what believing in Christ really is. And she did it. And she was saved. And, she was so happy. She knew she was going to heaven, not because she deserved it, but because God loved her and Christ died for her sins, the barrier that would have kept her out of heaven. Christ died and removed that barrier, and she knew she was going to heaven, and joy filled her soul, and she rejoiced with the rest of the family. And you know, they teased her. They said, "Are you saved?" She says, "Yes, I am saved." They said, "How do you know it? How can you prove it?" And they poured it on. But she knew it. The Spirit had given her God consciousness. He is the communicator. We read, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, he does more communication than that. In the first epistle to Corinthians, chapter 2, we read there in verse 9, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man can knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now the Spirit, as the communicator, as the divine communicator, communicates us with God, communicates us to God, and affords that communication through the Word of God. He reveals God's mind to us. He's the communicator. He tells us how God feels about things. And then he communicates with us, with God, on our behalf, as our intercessor. We're going to use that subject on our next broadcast. I won't develop it now. But he is the divine communicator. Now, he communicates the Word of God to you and to me, and the meaning of it by revelation, by his revelation. He teaches us, and so it is. Now, we did not understand this when we were unsaved. No intelligence can conceive of the things of God. The Spirit must be the communicator. He must reveal God to me. When I received salvation, it was a revelation. It was a revelation of what God had done at the cross for me. I tried to understand it academically, just like this young woman. But I didn't get the job done. But finally, I realized the truth of it, and the Spirit of God revealed Christ to me, and revealed me back to God after I trusted. Now, here we have that wonderful divine Spirit as the interpreter of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the Spirit is the composer of the Word of God. He is the one who gives God meaning to us. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2, 20 rather, and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, that is, carried along by the Holy Ghost. God gave those men their messages, and we read in the first epistle to Peter, they didn't understand their own writings. They had to search the Scriptures, but it was revealed to them that they were not writing for that time, they were writing for us. We cannot expand on this. But the Spirit of God brings the mind of God to me. It lets me know how he thinks about things through the Word of God. Why? That I might live for him. Our Father, today we pray that we might give the Spirit of God that place in our lives that will help him freely communicate to us and from us to God the things that are of mutual concern. In Christ's name, amen.